find Psalm chapter 1, if we could, the very first psalm. By the way, Psalm chapter 40 and verse number 9 is Bob Jones III. That's his life verse. I've preached righteousness in the great congregation. I remember him mentioning that one time in a sermon, that was his life verse. It's a great verse, a great truth. Psalm chapter 1 in our Bibles together. We're going to begin our reading in verse number 1. And we'll read a couple of verses, and then we're going to jump down to go to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, and we'll go to Luke chapter 9. So you can hold your place there in Psalms, and then you can find the Gospel of Luke in the 9th chapter, and we'll get there in just a moment. Psalm chapter 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Now, there's much to be said when we talk about fellowship or following. It was several years ago on September 11th in 2001 where delusional men followed the influence and direction of evil men and boarded planes and crashed them into the World Trade Center. And because of this following, many lives were taken, and of course the world was shaken, a country watched in fear. And all of these events took place because of fellowship. Now, we're talking about fellowship, but we're talking about following God and his direction for our life. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, if we could turn there, the Gospel of Luke and the 9th chapter together. Luke chapter 9, and look what the scriptures teach us here. Verse 57 is where we'll start here. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. The Bible says this, verse 57, Luke 9, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and to bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto them, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Let's pray together. Lord, help us as we look at this passage of Scripture to glean truths, to help us in our fellowship tonight. I pray you would help us, Lord, to follow you and to have our heart toward you. Lord, I thank you for your word and, Lord, its message for us that we can gather together tonight and to hear it. I pray that we would not only be hearers but also doers. I pray that you'd be glorified. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus wants us to follow after him. I heard the story of John Wesley. He was returning from a service one night, and a man who Wesley was walking home, a man called out to him and told him to stop. And that man robbed Wesley, took everything that he had on him. And as that man was walking away, that bandit, that robber was walking away, John Wesley called out to him and told him to stop. He told him to stop. He said, I want you to know something. He said that one day you may come to the place in your life where you regret this sort of a life. And if you ever do so, there's something to remember. John Wesley said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that thief kind of, you know, pushed him away and took off, left. Several years later, Wesley was greeting people after a Sunday service when he was approached by a stranger. And it surprised Wesley to learn that that visitor, who was a Christian now and was a successful businessman, was that thief that robbed him many years before that. And that thief said to Wesley, as he was greeting people leaving the church, the thief said, "I owe it all to you." And John Wesley said, "No, my friend." He said, "Not to me, but to the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." You see, when Jesus would enter a city, no matter which type of people were there, there were two types of individuals. There were crowds and followers. The crowd would follow Jesus for lots of different reasons. Some followed Jesus because they wanted to see miracles. There were those who followed Jesus because they wanted to be fed. There were those who followed Jesus because they wanted to be healed. There were many that were a part of the crowd that followed Jesus, to the point when that crowd started to leave and Jesus turned to his own disciples and said, "Will ye also go away?" But then there were followers. There were those that were the followers of the Lord. We would call them the disciples of Jesus. They were students of the Lord Jesus. The word follow means to occupy. It means to live a life in devotion to the Lord. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be followers of the Lord Jesus. I want to give you some thoughts here tonight on the follow me that the Bible teaches us in Scripture, the follow me of the Lord, and where we should be in our Christian life as we follow the Lord because of what he has done for us. And throughout the Bible, there are many of these wonderful thoughts. Number one, I want us to think about this. There's the follow me of faithfulness. There's the follow me of faithfulness. Now, Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke here in chapter 9 and verse 62, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, this is some strong language from the Lord Jesus. We find individuals that wanted to follow the Lord Jesus, individuals that claimed that they wanted to be followers of the Lord Jesus. And yet the Lord Jesus really separates the followers from the crowd in this passage of Scripture. And we find here that the Lord Jesus is calling for faithfulness to him. Faithfulness to him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Would you turn there? Matthew chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 6. God wants us to be committed to him. I heard the story late in his career when the Yankees were comfortably ahead in the pennant race. Joe DiMaggio was asked why he continued to play as hard as he could every single game. And this is what Joe DiMaggio said. He said, "Because there might be someone out there who has never seen me play." He was a man who was committed to his craft. The reality is he was committed to a game that was temporal. And all of the results that the Yankees or Joe DiMaggio could ever obtain were temporal and would fade away. But we're involved in that which is eternal. And God wants us to be committed. He wants us to be faithful. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23, look what the Bible says. It says in verse 23, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Verse 24, by the way, 23 is speaking of our focus and our attention. What are we thriving for? What is our commitment to? And the Bible says in verse 24 that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. The Bible says that no one, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is speaking of money here. We cannot serve two masters. We're going to either be committed to one or we're going to turn to the other, or we're going to be committed to the other or turn from the other one. God says, listen, you got to have a single focus here. That's why Paul said, this one thing that I do, it's faithfulness, it's commitment. And so we notice in verse 57 here, this profession, this man's profession. He says in verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went away, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I mean, we see, first of all, I think we see his excitement here. I mean, I think he's genuine. I think he wanted to follow the Lord. He wanted to be a true follower of Jesus. He says in this passage of Scripture, Lord, I will follow no matter where you go. I'm making a resolve. I'm making a commitment here today. I will follow you. He says not only his excitement, but we notice this man's extent. He says, I will follow you wherever. Wherever you go, Lord, I will follow you. No matter the circumstances, I will follow you. I will go where you go, no matter the extent. We see his profession, but notice in verse 58, we quickly see the Lord's poverty. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, Jesus said in verse 58, that the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to this man that it wasn't comfortable following Jesus. Jesus didn't have a home. He didn't have an address. He just followed the working of God in his life, the Spirit's direction. And so he notes here his poverty, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Would you notice this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 9 together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. The Bible says this, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And so we see the poverty of the Lord. We see that it's oftentimes in our life, it's God leads us to uncomfortable places, difficult places. And so we have to be committed. We have to be faithful. And Jesus is saying to this man, you want to follow me wherever, I want you to know that I'm going to lead you in some uncomfortable places. And as followers of Christ, the Spirit of God has led us to some uncomfortable places. Where the Spirit of God has said to us, hey, give the gospel to that person. And we're like, really, Lord? Do you really want me to do that? But we also see in this passage of Scripture another man's pretext. Now, a pretext is an excuse that we give, but it's concealing the real reason of why we don't do something. And we all have in our life, we will give certain pretexts where, you know, we say, well, this is why we don't do it, but we don't reveal the real reason in our heart why we don't want to do it. In verse 59, look what the Bible says, Luke 9. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And so we notice the pretext here, excuses of why they were not going to follow the Lord. And I think that we would all agree that these were all good excuses, but they were still excuses. And I think the Bible gives us these excuses or reveals the heart of this individual that oftentimes when we don't want to do something, we use a pretext to guard us from doing something. And I think this is what we find in this individual's heart. We note here the double allegiance, the words but and first. This man had thought through the decision but had concluded that he was unwilling to follow Christ. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Notice the Lord's principle here in verse 62. So the Lord gives us this principle, and this includes all that would follow him. The Bible says, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I mean, this is a powerful descriptive message that Jesus is giving here in this passage of Scripture. He's speaking of those who would have double allegiance. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God is a message I'm sure that that man would never forget. And yet it's a message not just for him in that day, but a message for us today. In our allegiance and following the Lord, will we be willing to follow God in our life? I think you get the idea of the principle of the idea of looking back. And if you're a farmer and you're making a row of planting seeds and you're cutting that row and you're looking behind you, it's not going to be a straight row. It's going to be a mess. And the Bible is saying here that we as Christians, we have to have a clear focus in our life. And this includes our fellowship, following the Lord with our life. He must have first place. And so I find in the Bible the follow me of faithfulness. But let's turn, if we could, to Matthew chapter 4. And I want us to notice tonight the follow me of fishing for men. The follow me of fishing for men. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. The Bible says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And of course, that if they were fishermen, throwing a net into the sea would be a normal practice for them. And the Bible says in verse 19, and he saith unto them, follow me. Now notice the directness of this statement. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. I mentioned this on Wednesday night. I preached this passage of Scripture more in detail. It just blows my mind that they would leave everything behind. Their father's business, their family, their homes, their livelihood. They left it all, and they followed Jesus. But there's a powerful expression that's found in this scripture in verse 19. Jesus said, follow me. If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I want us to notice the parallel passage. Would you turn to Mark chapter 1? Mark chapter 1, and we can kind of put these together and get a better picture of what's happening here in this gospel. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 16. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 16. And notice what the Bible says here. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verse 16. It says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now this is important for us to understand here. Because as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, As we become a follower of the Lord, we also become a fisher of men. Don't they go hand in hand? Can we truly be a follower of Jesus and not a fisher of men? And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture that if you follow me, I will make you to become a fisher of men. Doesn't happen instantly. But God is working in our lives so that we would see people differently. Souls whom Jesus died for. It was Henry Martin that said this. Henry Martin said, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions." He said, "And the nearer we get to Christ, the more intensely missionary we must become." The nearer we get to Christ, the more intensely missionary we must become. I think it's impossible for us to be a follower of Jesus and to not care about lost people and their condition. In verse 18, we see the Lord's calling. The Bible says in verse 18, "And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers." I think it's important for us to know that these were ordinary men. These were not theologians. In fact, the Bible says of Peter that they marveled at Peter because he was unlearned. He wasn't taught in the Sanhedrin. He wasn't a deeply educated man. He was a fisherman. He was ordinary. He was like you and he was like me. This is, it includes all of us tonight. He was a fisherman. God uses ordinary people, people like you, people like me, to be fishers of men. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27 says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." We see the Lord's calling and we see the Lord's command. He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Mark says, "I'll make you become fishers of men." And I want to stress again that this is a process. God is working in our life. He's working in our hearts to make us that fisher of men. And if we are following Jesus, it's the process that's happening in our hearts even tonight. And we see their compliance. And they straightway, verse 20, left their nets and followed him. Again, it's amazing to me that they would leave everything to follow the Lord. But the Bible says in verse 22, "And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." You say, why would they be so compliant? Well, they just saw Jesus perform an incredible miracle. They fished all night. They caught nothing. And the Bible says that Jesus told them to put their net down again for a draught. And they caught so many fish, they could not conceal it all. They could not hold it all. They saw the power of God in their life. And it changed their life. "Follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll make you to become a fisher of men." Thirdly, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 16, and I want us to think about the "follow me" of full surrender. The "follow me" of full surrender. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 is where we'll begin. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." To deny ourselves is to deny our sinful nature.
our flesh. To take up our cross is to bear the burdens that we have in our life, to endure, to persevere. And we follow Christ is to pursue the Lord in our life. And so Jesus said in verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." If you live for yourself, Jesus said, by the way, this is not my words, this is what Jesus is saying. If you live for your life and the pleasures of this world, there will be pleasures in sin for a season, but Jesus said you'll lose your life. Your life will be empty. But if you live for God, you will gain your life. You will live for eternity. And then in Matthew 16 and verse 26, we have that powerful verse that we all hear quoted. "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Really, all of these points connect. Jesus, in these verses, is driving home a vital truth. When we are following the Lord, we are living for eternity. This is what Jesus is saying. If any man will deny himself and take up his cross, endure and follow me, then they will live a life eternal. You cannot be a follower of Christ and it all be about us. Let me give you one more. Let's turn to John chapter 21 in our Bibles. John chapter 21. And I want us to think about the follow me of a fervent love. A fervent love. John chapter 21 in verse 15. The Bible says, "And when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" What are these in that passage of Scripture? Well, a lot of theologians have made a guess. We really don't know. Some have said it's the disciples. Some have pointed to the fish and the occupation of Simon Peter. He was a fisherman. He had forsaken all to follow Jesus, and he told the other disciples, "I go a-fishing." And maybe Jesus is saying, "Simon, do you love me more than the fish?" We don't know. "But he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Now, both of these times, the Greek word here for love is not a sacrificial agape love. It's a fond of me love, a like love. And so Jesus is saying to Peter, remember the last time that Jesus and Peter had this conversation, Peter said, "Lord, I'm going to die for you." And he denies him. He does the opposite of what he said he was going to do. And so when Jesus comes to Peter in John 21 and says, "Peter, do you have an agape love for me?" Peter responds by saying, "Lord, I'm fond of you. I'm not going to do that again. The last time I said I had a sacrificial love, I denied you. I'm not going to put my foot in my mouth again. I'm going to be careful this time." And so Jesus says the first time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "You know I love you, Lord. I'm fond of you." And Jesus said the second time, "Peter, do you love me sacrificially?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I'm fond of you." And so the third time, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was grieved, verse 17, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And this time, Peter's broken. He's broken. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know my heart. You know that I'm rugged. I put my foot in my mouth many times. But you know my heart. And you know that I love you. Agape love. I love you. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now this is the incredible thought in this passage of Scripture. Because Jesus tells Peter that his love is true. In verse 18, he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter would eventually die for Christ. And that love, that agape love, would be revealed. By the way, it's a wonderful thought in the book of Acts. When Peter's in prison and they're going to kill him in the morning, and the church is all praying, and Peter's not concerned, it's because he's not an old man yet. And Jesus said, you're not going to die till you're an old man and we have to carry you around. He just trusted what God said, that God would always keep his word. And look what Jesus said in verse 19. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, say it with me, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. You see, the reality is, a fervent love is a love that follows Christ. It follows Christ. And it's easy for us to become sidetracked. It's easy for us to get our attention on other things. It didn't take long for Peter to be sidetracked. He looked at John the Apostle and said, what will this man do? And Jesus said, I'll paraphrase, Peter, it's none of your business. You just follow me. Just keep your eyes on me and keep allowing me to lead you in your life. And so the follow me's of Christ. Are you a faithful follower? Are you a fisher of men? Are you fully surrendered? And do you love the Lord? It's wonderful thoughts, biblical truths. God help us today not just to be the crowd, but to be a follower of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and we're grateful.